What I was gonna say is that I didn't get the opportunity to listen to the whole thing, but from what I did get the opportunity to hear, he was speaking on, understanding now that he has white privilege that he, was born with, and he didn't have to do anything to earn that. And I was thinking to myself about the story that I love to share because I still find humor in it. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I was raised, I guess you could say, in a blind manner of speaking in
What's the
regards to
story?
color. So my grandfather, for anyone who doesn't, he's Caucasian, and he was driving. I had to be like 15, 16 years old, and that's kind of high school is kind of when racism really hit me,
Right.
personally. And so, I was raised to not see color, and as an African American woman, you would think that I would be, knowledgeable to this facet that, racism and sexism and any kind of ism really is prevalent to my life, but I didn't because I was raised to not see color. So, my grandfather's driving, he's on a little tiny back highway or whatever under the house,
Okay.
and he's driving us home. And I'm in my phone, I am in my own world. I'm not thinking about him, I'm not thinking about this car, I'm not thinking about the traffic. The only thing I'm thinking about is what's on my phone and in my phone and in my face.
Right.
So, the cop pulled us over. This was around, the time where kids were going missing, they were being kidnapped, and I was not even privy to that. I don't watch the news, so I haven't watched TV, as a matter of fact, since 2008, not really. So, he's a black guy, he pulls us over. And before he even asked my grandfather anything, he's like talking to me. And I had no idea he was even talking to me. Like I said, I was completely absent-minded. I wasn't thinking. And he's like, "Are you okay?" And I didn't hear him the first time because I'm like in my own little world. And he's like, "Excuse me, are you okay?" And I look up and I'm like, "Who, me?" Because I'm not thinking about the fact that he's white. I'm not thinking about the fact that he's white. So I'm looking at him like, what the hell is he asking me that for? Like, what? I don't understand why you're asking me that. So I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Like, blowing this guy off. So as I got older, when I got in my early 20s and I told my grandmother this story, she started busting out laughing because she could see what I could not, because with age comes wisdom most of the time. And so
Right.
she had to explain to me as an adult, okay, mind you, who's already dealt with racism in high school because most of the staff at my school were racist. My grandfather is white.
Right.
And this is around the time when kids was going missing and they were being kidnapped. And so I just was like, that's not funny. Like, to me, it wasn't funny because I didn't think about the concept that my grandfather's white. All I was thinking about is, this is my grandfather. Like, why are you asking me that? That's a stupid ass question.
Right.
So that's what I really learned. Like, there is a really big division between African Americans and Caucasians. When you come from a family like mine, you don't think about that shit. Like, that's not
No,
something that's on your brain.
not when you were born and nobody ever told you that your grandfather was white. He just was, and that's just what it was, and you knew that from day one. But it wasn't like it
Yeah.
was like explained to you and everything was like, listen, you have a white grandfather. Nobody cared about that and you didn't care. So you weren't raised to see, that
Color.
kind of color. Like you were just raised to, okay, he's different. That's it.
I didn't even like none of his whiteness dawned on me at all. Like, none of it. Like, no part of him being white and me being black dawned on me as a person. Not even an African American, as a person. Even when I was going to the community center, and just as a back feature, community center is a place that Buddhists go to chant. They have meetings and stuff like that, similar to a church, different concept. a different belief system. So even when I was going to the community, and I'm not talking about the temple one for those who are like, oh, you worship Buddha. No, that's not what I mean. Just like different Christianity, there's different Buddhism. Just as a disclaimer, it's not, I don't worship Buddha. Okay, I don't even have a religion. I'm a spiritualist, honestly. But I do believe in karma, so there you go. Even when we were going to the community center, or like when people would come over, even Kumar, I swear on everything I love, it was the funniest thing. You know, Kumar is like my honorary brother, and he's an African American male, and he, even though he raised, you know, to not see color, he understood that my grandfather is white. He had that cognitive understanding that my grandfather is white, but he didn't know that he didn't put two and two together like I didn't, that he's married to my grandmother who's black. So and people will come over and they go, your grandfather's white, and I'm like, yes, what is the big deal? Yes, my grandfather's white. Can we move past it? Like, I didn't know
that was a big deal.
It was the funniest thing. It was so hilarious because I was like, I didn't know. Like, you would think, and this is what my grandmother always tries to get people to understand. You can't expect somebody to know something right off the bat. They had to learn that stuff. That is something that I never learned. I never learned to see my grandfather as a white man. I just learned to see him as my grandfather. So when people will make a big deal about it, I'm like, what the fuck is the big deal? So he's white. So what? Like, so what?
Yeah, Nobody gets that.
Oh my god!
They expect to see, you know, they don't expect to see a black girl with a white man and think, oh, that's her father, or oh, that's her grandfather. They don't think like that. They automatically think, oh, he kidnapped her. Oh, something's wrong. I mean, me and Shannon were in Universal a couple years ago, and we saw this little black girl, and she was with a white guy. An old white guy. And immediately we start laughing and kikiing. You know, we're like, oh. Blink if you're okay. Like, we start acting. but it wasn't funny though. Like, but that's sad. Like, that thought. What are you doing?
That is wild. Don't pay me no attention. I'm snacking. You know how I do.
Oh, but it was, I mean, it was funny and we were laughing. But that was, like, so prejudiced. Like, we were thinking, like, oh, my God, the child is being kidnapped. But that could have been that man's daughter. It could have been that man's granddaughter.
Stepdaughter. You know,
it could have been that man's stepdaughter. I mean, it could
have adopted daughter. That, like, you just don't know. You daughter. Can't.
It could have been. You just don't know. You know, but the fact that we, you know, I mean, we laugh and joke about it. But it's really not cool that, like, we thought that little black baby was in trouble. And it's not funny, but I know personally, dealing with you, my daughter, you having a white grandfather, you know, I started to think at what people assume. It's really sad that we live in a world like that. I wish that, you know, the world that we live in was different. I wish that, you know, people could just look at your grandfather and you and just say, oh, they're, you know, they're related, they're family. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And even as an adult now, I deal with that, like, not as often because people know now and people are aware now, but even now I deal with that. I recently deal with that, you know, with my fiance, because we were walking up 41st Street towards 40th. Because we were going to Fresh Grocer that day to get some stuff to, you know, cook at the house. And my grandfather was driving in the opposite direction, and he beat the horn. And you know me, absent-minded as usual. I wasn't paying attention. I didn't notice. And my girlfriend, my fiance, she's nudging me. She's like trying to get my attention. And I'm like, what? Because I'm in my phone, as always. Right. I live inside my phone. So I look over. And it turns out that my grandfather was beeping me. Said, who's that guy?
Wow.
Like, that's my grandfather.
Right.
Your grandfather's white? Yes. Like, not again. Like, It was just too funny. But she didn't intend for it to be like, you know, an insult or anything. Just, of course. She was curious. She didn't know that my grandfather was black. People always assume that just because you're African-American that your lineage is going to be African-American. Even without my grandfather being white, there are white people in my family. There are Spanish people in my family. There are Dominican people in my family. Right. So
our family is
Africans in my family. Like,
we are so, like, literally the rainbow. Everybody is in our family.
Yeah, I am colorblind. And not just literally colorblind, like I can't see certain colors. Like I'm colorblind physically and you know, in my eyes. So that never dawned on me that my grandfather was white. It was like, that's my grandfather. Like, what do you want? You want me to paint myself white? You want me to have vitiligo? Like, what do you want to do? He's white. I can't change that my grandfather's white. I can't make myself white. Like, what do you want me to do? All the women in my family, well, not all of them, but my closest lineage is black women. So, yes.
Right.
Yes, I'm a black woman. Yes, my grandfather's white. Do you have any other questions? Like, can we move on?
Yeah,
I don't make a big deal about it.
They don't get it. A lot of people think that just because, like, you know, you have a grandfather who is a white man, that automatically we don't see that. We don't care about that. But other people on the outside looking in, they look at it and they're just like, they're baffled, you know. And unfortunately, it's just not the world that we grew up in. You know, you and I grew up in a world that was devoid of racism up until a certain age. So when we finally experience, it's baffling to us because we're like, what the hell is this? You know? Mm-hmm. Out of all the men in my mother's life, this man was the only one that I felt truly loved her. You know? So, you know, and she had an issue with it at first. You know, she had it like, I don't know if I should do this. I don't know if this is a good thing. Okay, what makes you think that? Because I asked her, you know, what makes you think that this is not the man for you? Is it because he's white? Or is it because, you know, he doesn't treat you well? And she's like, no, it's none of those things. I mean, I just don't want people talking about us. Okay, why don't you want people talking about you? Like, who cares what they say? What my question is my question to you is, does he treat you well?
Yeah.
You know, does he put his hands on you? You know, if he treats you well and doesn't put his hands on you and totally respects you, what is the problem?
He's white.
No, that's not the
problem. I'm kidding.
Like, well, I don't want people talking about, you know, you got jungle fever. Who the hell cares what they're talking about? You know, my thing is, are you happy? Does he make you happy? And that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If he makes you happy. Because you can't be with somebody and you're not happy.
Nope.
Like, why do you even want to be with a person that doesn't make you happy? I don't get that. If you're upset, if you're unhappy, why stay with that person? So my thing is, and I told her, I said to her, okay, if he was black, how would we be having this conversation? And all she could say is, like, we wouldn't. Exactly! We wouldn't be having this conversation. So what's the matter? You know what I'm saying? And she was like, you're right. And I'm saying to her, like, look at the pros and the cons. You know, put the pros and the cons together. Can you give me 5 reasons why you shouldn't be with this person? She couldn't give me 2.
Yeah.
So then that was her decision. That's where she made her decision. And I was just like, it's not even about him being a white man. It's about, are you happy? Does he make you happy?
The only part that bothers me, it's still to this day, about my grandfather being white, it's not even his whiteness. It's the fact that people are like, oh, so that's not your real grandfather. What do you mean by that? He's the only grandfather that I know.
Exactly.
I've never known another. I don't know my grandmother's first husband. I didn't know him. He passed away probably before I was born. So the only grandfather I know, just so happens to be white. Like,
my father passed away at 42, so you never got to know your grandfather. Now, did he know who you were? Absolutely. Did he spend a lot of time with you? Absolutely. But you were less than a year old, so I don't expect you to even remember that. You know what I mean? But Bobby is the only grandfather you've ever had and known from day one, like from the day of your birth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And that bothers me because people are like, oh, he's not your real grandfather. He's your grandfather-in-law. Like, he's my grandfather. Put whatever title you want on it, okay? Because when my father had children, those children that he had that weren't yours were still my siblings. Like, let's not put the in-law thing on it. Let's not advertise or stress the in-law part. That part doesn't matter. My grandmother is happy. She married a white man. My grandfather's white. He's the only grandfather I've known. And he's the only grandfather I'm probably ever going to know. Like, I don't know any other grandfather. She just passed away before I was born, so I didn't know him. It doesn't make him any less than my grandfather. It doesn't take anything away from him. It just means that I didn't know him. So the grandfather that I do know and has been in my life and is still in my life is white. It just so happens to be that way. It doesn't make him any less of my grandfather just because, you know, he married into this family. That's the only part that really bothered me about my grandfather being white. Don't discredit him as my grandfather just because he married into my family. He's still my grandfather. He's the only one I know.
Right. It's sad. I wish that I actually grew up having my real father as a dad and then having Bobby as a dad. So I've kind of like, I had two dads growing up. You know what I mean? And it was hurtful, you know, that my father wasn't around to see me get married, you know, but I was grateful that Bobby was around to see me get married. And he was the one that walked me down the aisle. Like, that, it's not like he took the place of my dad, you know, because he had been being my dad since I was like 14 or 15. So he's been my dad. But I was honored that he was there to walk me down the aisle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially since my dad passed away.
Yeah.
You know, and I never saw him as the white man. I always just saw him as my dad. Like, you know, me and my sister used to, me and Mary used to, like, have fun and tease people. You know, how talking about, like, we were sisters and stuff. And people like, oh, my God, how can you be sisters? Okay, her dad is white. She's white. My mom is black. I'm black. What's the problem? You know what I mean? I mean, we watched the Jeffersons and, you know, Jenny had a whole white brother. She had a white father. You know what I'm saying? So, like, why couldn't that be possible? But the simple fact that Bobby was there for me, you know, in the place of my dad, even though my dad was gone, that's special. You know, not many people get that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Miriam growing up didn't really get a chance to really have that. You know, she didn't get that until later on in life.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, we're lucky, me and you. We're lucky to have somebody, you know, not a white man, but we're lucky to have somebody that loves us.
And unconditionally, and, like his own. And,
yeah. Yeah. And like takes care of our loved one, you know, takes care of my mother, takes care of your grandmother, loves our mother, loves your grandmother. So we're very lucky, but not many people in this life get to experience that. All they see is, you know, hate and anger and disgust and jealousy. And you know, we're lucky to be Buddhist because, you know, we get to see a different part of the of what our potential could be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of people are very confused out here and they don't know who they are, you know, and then the ones that do know who they are, you know, they can't change. That's sad. Can you imagine living in a world where you have to be a racist? Living in a world where you can't change, you're not allowed. And if you do, you know, you get kicked out of the family or you get kicked out, you know, that's gotta be really, really hard.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being a racist in this world and getting kicked out of my family because I feel differently.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know. You're right. People don't have the opportunity to be unconditionally loved regardless of what that other person looks like.
Right.
Now, that touches on a whole different subject. I struggle because I had two fathers and neither one of them was shit. So I hate to put it that way, but
well, listen,
it's the truth.
They were both like, narcissistic. They were both narcissistic.
My biological father was a petty criminal who couldn't keep his stupidness out of his, you know, he was a dumb adolescent.
You grow up, you learn,
or you grow up and you go to jail. I mean, it is. You grow up, you learn. You grow up, you go to jail. You grow up and you pass away. Like it's only three roads that you can go in life. And you know, some people they just don't grow up; they grow old.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Unfortunately, I had the pessimism of dealing with two men who were in my life, and they didn't grow up; they grew old.
Right.
But I
how
still.
How did that make you feel, though?
Pop Pop is still the only male in my life that I respect because he is the ultimate father figure. He is my father. He is my grandfather. He's the only man in my life who's ever stuck around, you know?
Right.
And I respect him to the fullest for that. He supports me. He takes care of me. He loves me unconditionally. He loves my grandmother. He loves you. He loves his children, his grandchildren. He has so much love in his heart.
Right.
For everyone who he's related to, blood or not blood.
Right.
So that actually assists me with the anger and the rage that I experience having had two fathers who weren't shit. Like, there's no sugarcoating it. They weren't shit. But I can't be mad at them because of the toxic environment that they grew up in. How am I to fault someone with my anger and my rage that I feel because they were inadequate, because they came from a toxic background? It's not selfish, but, you know, I can't discredit my feelings, but I can also be open-minded enough to understand it is what it is. You are who you are because of where you came from. And even as an adult, it is your decision. But learned behaviors are very difficult to break.
They are.
They're extremely difficult to break. And you can't fault somebody or be angry with somebody because their inadequacy is something that is a learned behavior. And they don't know how to break the generational curse in order to be able to be adequate enough for you.
Right. But the great thing about that is that you came through, even though that was your testimony. You came through that. You busted through the doors like it didn't even matter, you know, because it didn't technically and physically. You really got what you needed from both of them. You know what I'm saying? One, you needed breath in your body. You got that. The other one, you needed to be able to operate in this world and you learned some things. You know, and whether that person was genuine or disingenuine, you still made it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And it's
kudos to you because you actually made it through that. And not a lot of people get to have that testimony and say, listen, you know, I had two fathers. Both of them wasn't shit. But I'm still here and I'm still fucking, I'm still doing what I need to do. I made it through regardless of that fact.
If they taught me anything, it's that my biological father taught me that I don't need to seek validation from someone who gave me life in order to live it.
Exactly.
And my stepfather taught me, I am more than capable of getting through whatever bullshit comes my way because I have the strength to do it because I already dealt with the most difficult part of my life, which is to not have my father in it. and to deal with the consequences mentally that that comes with without being on medication of all things. Because I have been diagnosed, I was diagnosed over 4 years ago, probably five now, with manic depressive disorder, which is bipolar one. I know, I looked it up, I do my research. And that's the most, that's the worst bipolar to have. And PTSD and anxiety, all NA. And I still, to this day, don't need to be on medication. Now, I've taken trazodone. I have. It's a sleep aid slash antidepressant. It's more so of a sleep aid than an antidepressant, but you still have to get that from a psychologist. But I don't need it.
No,
I do not need it. Do I want it? Maybe. I have my ups and down days. What I have to do in order to get it, I don't care for. I'm not going to keep talking about my past life and to a therapist. Like, talking about it, you know, in a public platform, that's just a testimonial to get people to understand you don't have to deal with the bullshit that you're going through. You have the opportunity to choose whether or not you want to allow your chemical imbalance in your brain to overtake your opportunity to function.
Right.
And, yeah, it can be difficult, you know, to be social, especially when you're as inept as I am. But you learn.
Yeah.
These are things, it's basically like baby steps. You have to baby step your way into some form of functional behavior. That's it. All of these medications and shit like that are actually worse than the condition that you have. You are going to put yourself in a situation to make your condition worse? Why? You already have a physically chemical imbalance in your brain and you want to chemically alter yourself? Which could put you in a potential hazard to be addicted to whatever it is you're on or be tweaking in the corner. I've seen it. I've heard the people who, you know, are on these medications and shit like that. That shit is not. All you have to do is consider the fact that you need to have the strength and the willpower and the ability to understand it's mind over matter.
Yeah.
You're supposed to struggle throughout this. It's not a cakewalk. It's something that you have to learn to deal with.
Right.
If you acknowledge it with drugs, then, you know, fine, so be it. Yeah, they do say that over time, you know, as you get older, it gets worse. But I knew an antidepressant who was just fine. Smoked weed. Was okay. As soon as they went to jail, they became a schizophrenic. Why? Because you're taking all these medicines. Stop taking that shit. It's poisoning your chemical imbalance even more. It's not helping. You're just convincing yourself that it's chemically helping your brain when really it's just making it worse. As a person who's 30 years old and has been dealing with this since I was, what, seven? I can guarantee you that that medication you're on, whatever the hell it is, it's not working. And if it does work, it's going to stop working because your body has a tendency to become immune to the shit because it knows that you're not supposed to be taking it because it's foreign to your body. Your body has no idea what the fuck you're doing. And so it's creating these, you know, antibodies to...
Some people need medication.
Some people do need it. Yes, some people do need it. I'm talking about people who don't have the strength and don't have the willpower like I do to just deal. Some people are just weak-willed. The difference between needing something and being weak-willed. If you're weak-willed, I'm talking to you. Because it's not going to get any better. You're just putting yourself in a more dangerous situation. Those chemicals and those drugs, they're very addictive. They're highly addictive. And they're worse than the condition that you have. So you have to either learn to... I deal with it. When it comes to a point where I'm going to have to take it, then fine, so be it. Put me on it. But you're going to have to convince me first because being highly intellectual makes it a problem. You can't convince me that I need this medication. I may want this medication or you may want me to be on this medication, but I don't need it. Been dealing with the shit this long. What makes it different now?
Well, I hope that if you would need medication, that you would take it. Some people need medication. Like I
said, if I do need it, if my doctor is like, listen, this is not even up for discussion, you taking this medicine, then fine. But until then, and it'll probably take a year because I'm very stubborn. I'm just going to know how to say it. I am very stubborn.
Completely stubborn.
You know, this is just, you know, it is what it is. You know, I'm just going to have to deal with it until my doctor goes, if you come into my office one more time, I'm going to strap you down and stuff the medication down your throat. I'm really just going to deal with it. I've been through a lot of shit, and I've come out as a stronger person for it. I can't allow myself to be inadequate to myself. That's not fair to me. It's not fair. It's only be 30 years old. I have a lot of problems, physical problems, and I don't allow any of them to stop me from living my life. It's in me to just fight for it, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I struggle still to this day about, you know, my father, to bring it full circle. It's not something that's going to go away. You can't just sleep and then the next day, oh, I don't care. You're always going to care.
Yeah.
Are you going to let that stop you from living your life? No, I'm not. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give in. I don't even think I have it in me to give in.
Some people have a father that was never there. You know, I had a father who had mental illness. So, mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't like he was, you know, the ideal father. He mentally, he wasn't well. So, you know, it's difficult to have a father. It's gonna die so young. Difficult to have a father that is there, but mentally is checked out. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, a lot of people don't get to experience that, you know, which is why I'm glad that Bobby came along. Because I feel like I didn't really have a fair shot when it comes to having a father. But I, you know, through my mother, I got another opportunity to have a father that is really a good one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The hell was it talking about? Legislation? What? This app is crazy. Did you see the roll the dice thing? Like, what? What are you talking about? Click on that.
What?
I don't know. Something on my app, it was talking about, you know, rolling the dice again. Because they were talking about some type of legislation. I don't know. Child, please. So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. We all have our different experiences with race, right. Racism and sexism and mental health and disorders and just, you know, everyday family bullshit. You know, everyday life bullshit.
No family is perfect.
Yeah, everyday life bullshit. Everyone goes through it. Everyone has to, you know, come to their own conclusion at the end of the day about what it is best for them. Right. Hopefully it's not hitting somebody with a car, but, you know. It is what it is. If that's the conclusion you come to, no one can fault you for that.
Right.
Do you know what makes me giggle, though? People, they acknowledge my personality and then they compare me to other people. What I mean by that is, because I'm a Sagittarius, people like to bring up the fact, and because they believe, that it is their assumption, it is their conclusion that I mean, I don't know where the hell people keep getting this from, that I mean that I'm like Ted Bundy. I'm just a sitting ticking time bomb to turn into like a Ted Bundy figure. And I'm like, believe me when I tell you that, first of all, I don't have to physically do anything to you. Not right. just because I have family members who are fucking psycho, but because I delved in witchcraft. I don't have to touch you. Like, I don't have to eat you. I don't have to cut you up and put you in my basement or any of that. I don't have to do anything to you in order to harm you if that's what I wanted to do. But
well, I think people assume it because you've been through stuff. And they think that, you know, because you've been automatically have some kind of psycho-ness about you. But it's not even that. Like, people assume a lot when they don't know anything. And they just kind of make up their own stories about it, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know.
I know you. I know you're a psycho.
And I tell people all the time, really? Really? Really, mother? You're just going to sell me down the line. Oh, anyway. No. Get out. Here's the thing. There's a very fine line, and I do mean very fine, like fresh cut Coke. There's a very fine line between, not that I've ever done it, there's a very fine line between being protective of your energy and being a psycho and being mean. I am protective of my energy, so if I see any little itty bitty thing, it could be the smallest thing, you probably wouldn't even acknowledge it on your own person. If I see any form of behavior that makes me question you, if I decide to even give you the chance to get that far, because I'm really not a people person, I'm not going to be around you. I'm not going to have a conversation with you. I'm not going to talk to you. That's not about being mean. That's about protecting my space and my peace. And there's nothing wrong with that. And nobody can fault you for doing it. If you decide to be honest with, and I'm an honest person. People always, you being so mean, you're so mean. No, you just don't understand how to take on a person like me who is completely honest with you and won't sugarcoat shit with you. No one sugarcoated anything for me, so I don't know how to sugarcoat anything. Even if that was something that I learned, I still wouldn't do it. Because people try to teach you stuff, you know, like that. Don't ask me if you look fat in that dress, because I'm going to be honest. Like, you want to do lie? I'm not going to lie to you to comfort your ego. Like, this is not what real friends do. If I was your real, if I was some fake ass bitch, then I'd be like, no, your gut is only hanging a little bit out. Like, I'm not going to do that for you. Like, that's not okay to have you walking out of your house looking like an Oompa Loompa. That's not okay.
Right.
What kind of friend are you that you would just let your friend just walk out looking techie?
Right.
What is that? What is that? And, you know, I know that New York City is the, like, you know, the fashion capital of the world. But if I feel like you're too loud, I'm going to tell. I tell my fiance all the time, you are loud. You dress real loud. Billy Porter would look at you sideways. You. That's how loud you dress. I can hear you from a mile away. You're so loud the way you dress. It is what it is. She knows. She understands. She gets it. She doesn't like my delivery all the time, but she understands. I'm not going to lie to you to comfort you.
Right.
I'm not going to do it because that's not genuine friendship. That's not what genuine friends do.
Right.
And if you feel like you're a genuine friend and you just want to kind of, you know, curb the criticism a little bit because you know this person's sensitive, that's fine. Don't expect me to do it. Don't expect me to do it. Like, don't project your behavior onto me or your characteristics onto me or your perspective onto me. Don't deflect me with you.
Right.
I'm not you. I can't do what you do. I'm not you. I'm not in your brain. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what your intent is. My intent is to be honest with you because regardless of how you feel about my honesty, you will always respect me because I'm honest.
Right.
You can't not respect an honest person.
Where did you learn?
You know
that?
What happened? Huh?
Where did you learn that from?
Experience. I really just learned it from experience. Because you know what? I was that person. I was always trying to walk on eggshells and, you know, not be so offensive and not do this and not do... You know what I realized trying to do that?
What?
I was crazy. I was driving myself crazy because I'm not being honest with you, and that bothers me. Right. It bothers me to not be honest. Literally, like, internally festering to not be honest with you. Because now I feel I'm lying to you. I feel like right. I've lied to you.
Right.
And then people used to ask me stuff. Well, what do you think about this? And I'm like, trying to hold my tongue. That made me implode upon myself. I was just like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do it. Because you internalize those things. And you want to say them out loud. But you don't know how to deliver them. And I came from a generation of shut up all the time. So
yeah, you I just did wanted come to, from a generation
I,
of shut up.
I came from a generation of shut up. And for anybody who doesn't understand what that means that no matter what opinion you had, no one cared about it. No one wanted to hear it. Just shut up. So, you know, well, I used to tell my grandmother all the time, please don't brag on me about getting A's in school. That's something that I'm supposed to do. Oh, but I'm so proud of you. And I don't understand. Why can't you just take the compliment? Because I'm asking you, okay, nicely, all right, as nice as I possibly can, to only be 12 years old, to not brag on me. Me getting straight A's is not something to be bragged about. Right. It is something that I was supposed to do at that age.
Right.
I didn't understand, you know, that people can be proud of you and, you know, relay that pride to other people verbally. But if it's bothering me, you should respect that. You see what I'm saying? It's a manner of respect.
Right.
If I'm honest with you, then I honestly expect you to understand, even if I have to explain it, my perspective. So you can't internally make me crazy because I'm being honest with you. You can get upset. You can go into the other side of the room or out the house or, you know, around the corner and walk it off. But what you can't do is make me lie. You can't make me lie to you.
Right.
I can't do it. I'm incapable of doing it now, actually. I've tried. So you know I've tried to lie.
Yes.
Lying was never a thing in my house. There was no Easter bunny. There was no... The only thing I ever believed in was... And people will be like, oh, she's so insensitive. Why she do that to you? You were just a kid. The only thing that I believed in up until the age of cognitive is the tooth fairy. And that's only because my mom begged you on hands and knees not to let me not believe in the tooth fairy. And
because she
then,
thought that I was taking away your childhood. She thought
even
that
then,
if I made you not believe in stuff, that would be equivalent to taking away your childhood, which I didn't think it was. I just didn't want to lie to you about shit that you find out about later and be like, why the fuck did you lie?
And given my personality, that's exactly what I would do.
Exactly. Like, there is no Santa Claus. There is no tooth fairy. There is no, you know,
Easter bunny.
There's no magic person. Why did you fucking lie? And that's the only reason why I told you the truth about stuff. I didn't want that to come back later like it did me, you know, and I'm saying to myself, why are all these people lying to me?
Yeah. People want you to lie to them to spare their feelings. Nope. Whatever it is you're supposed to feel based on my honesty, that's what you're going to feel.
I think it's unfair that you pass those traditions on to your children. You know, when you found out about it, you know, how did you feel? And that's exactly what that's where I was at with it. When I found out the truth, how did I feel? So I felt like if I told you the truth, there wouldn't be any way to feel. You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't be disappointed. There's no Santa Claus. Yeah. There's no Easter Bunny. Are you fucking serious? You know what I mean?
Like, and to me,
all my damn teeth, and there's no goddamn tooth fairy. Are you crazy?
And that just brings it to what I was getting ready to say about the tooth fairy. My grandmother has a mole on her face, and she has one lock in the front. And I was 3/4 of the way asleep, and you know, I was in an open spaced bedroom. And she came into the room, and you could see her shadow on the wall. Because I had the nightlight on. And I felt my pillow rise and lay down. And I'm like, did she really just put a fucking quarter under my pillow? I thought that the tooth fairy was real. Like, I'm really upset. I was upset. So you have to gauge the personality of your child in order to understand, you know, whether or not to let them believe in whatever it is that, you know, and then, you know, deal with it after the fact, whether they're upset or not upset, or they understand what your logic for your, you know, decision is. You just have to deal with whatever comes after the fact of your decision, whatever consequence comes afterwards. But I was glad that my mother told me that there's no Santa Claus in those. Because, first of all, when you do stuff like that, you take away the opportunity of disappointment. And this is how, okay? So your child believes in Santa Claus. They want an iPad that you can't afford. What you going to do? What are you going to do? Tell them Santa Claus was broke that week? No, come on.
Santa Claus couldn't afford that shit. I'm sorry, but
hey, like, you just have to take the good with the bad when it comes to being a parent. And for me, I was glad that my mother, she didn't steal my childhood. I honestly, I don't feel like I even had a childhood, to be honest, just because of all the other bullshit that was going on. But that didn't take away from my childhood that I lacked either. So, and, you know, you got to make that decision. I'm going to have to come to that decision, too, with my fiancé about what are they going to believe in. Even now, she's like, well, can you tell me about this? Or how did you know about this? Or what did you feel about this? Or can you tell me about that? What subject is this? I don't understand this. Can you explain it? And I'm just like, I do the same thing to her that you did to me. Look it up.
Pretty much.
Look it up. I don't know what you want me, and you know, I spend a lot of time in front of the computer, and so that's why I'm highly intellectual now, and people can't just be like, oh, yeah, you need to do this, or you should do that, or I think this, or, okay, that's my general response, okay, that is your perspective, you can't put your perspective onto me. This is how I was raised, and this is what I, you know, choose to do. Even with that, this is how I was raised, and this is what I choose. There's a difference between this is how I was raised, so I have an excuse to act this way. No, I choose this.
Yeah.
I choose to believe that my mother had the best intentions for me as a kid, regardless of all the bullshit that was going on, and that she did the best that she could with what she had. You have to deal with the cards that you're dealt. And as an adult, you have to deal with the consequences of those cards that your parents were dealt, and then figure out a way to either move on, or move through, or move around. You can't change it.
Right.
I can't go back into my mother's past and go, you shouldn't do that because that's going to cause this consequence, and you don't want that consequence. It is.
Because you don't know.
Just avoid that part right there. Just don't make that decision. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. So, I don't feel like you did anything away from my child. I hardly have one of those.
You don't know what it's going to do. You know?
Yeah, you don't know what
it's tough because you don't know the consequences of your actions. You know what it could, what the potential of it could be.
Yeah.
The potential outcome. But you don't know exactly what it is. And being a parent is difficult. I did the best I could with you because I didn't know any better. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's, you know, you hope for the best. You know, you pray that the decisions that you make are the right ones, or that they in turn turn out to be the right decisions.
Yeah.
So you do the best that you can. You know, as long as you don't burden your children with your problems, I think, you know, every parent does the best that they can do.
Okay, so this is a disclaimer for any parent. When your child reaches a cognitive age, we don't expect you to overbear us. But please stop acting like it's nothing wrong. We can't stand that shit. We know it's something wrong. Don't do that. Don't go, oh, it's okay. So mommy's all right today. No, mommy is depressed. Like,
what are you supposed to say, though?
You just speak to them on their level. If they don't understand, there are books for that.
Yeah, but
once you reach a cognitive age, your mind is open to honesty. We can see it. We're not blind. Parents treat their children like they're blind because they don't want to overbear or overwhelm their children mentally. But if I'm seeing something, let them come to you if that's what it takes. If I'm seeing something and I'm verbally acknowledging something, please don't treat me like I'm slow. That's the only thing that I have with parenting. If I have a child and my child comes to me and they verbally express that they can see that I'm going through something, I'm not going to overwhelm them with the details, but I am going to say, yes, sweetheart, I'm having a bad day. It's as simple as acknowledgement. We don't expect you to go into, oh, yeah, this bitch in my job got on my nerves today. We don't expect that. We understand we're children. We don't have the privilege to understand or to know what it is that you're going through in great detail. But to act like we don't know at all, like that pisses us off. Don't do that. Don't do that.
But children are not supposed to be burdened by their parents.
It's the difference between burdening and acknowledging. Burdening to me
is, I understand that.
Burdening to me is if I'm verbally acknowledging that you're going through something that, you know, you can't fully express in great detail, don't act like you don't understand that I'm acknowledging that you're going through something that you can't verbally express in great detail. Just tell me, yes, mommy's having a bad day. Well, mom, what is the problem? What is the reason that you're having a bad day? I would love to tell you. I understand your concern and I acknowledge it, but this is not something that you're capable of assisting me with getting through. Mommy just has to go through this. And then when mommy gets through this, mommy will be okay. That's all we want. That's it. You don't have to be all, yeah, you know, Sally at my job today told my supervisor that I was in the break room, right? That I was in the break room smoking this, you know, a joint. Like, we don't expect that level of detail. We just expect you to acknowledge the fact that we acknowledge that you're going through something.
Okay.
That's it. We don't expect you to get into detail about how you had a spider in your office. That's not, you know, if that's what you mean when you say you don't want to overwhelm your child, that's exactly what we don't want either. But we don't want you to treat us as if we don't understand that there's something wrong. We're very intuitive. Especially younger and growing up. After a while, that intuition, it either gets stronger or it, you know, evens itself out. But when you're that young, you're extremely intuitive to a point where you can't ignore what you feel or what you see. I saw you struggle raising me. That wasn't something that I could ignore.
Right.
But I understood why you didn't want to express your struggle to me. But you didn't have to. I saw it for my own self because right. I'm intuitive. I'm at a cognitive age. I understand that there is shit that people go through and, you know, you have to do what you have to do in order to get through it. Did I expect you to tell me what it was? Not necessarily. Not in great detail, anyway.
I wasn't going to.
Not in great detail, anyway. But, you know.
There was nothing you could do to help me. So.
Even that, just acknowledging the fact that I've acknowledged it out loud, would have been enough for me. It may not be enough for every child, but it would have been enough for me. And I think that's where parents kind of are unbalanced with their children. If I'm coming mm-hmm. to you, there's a reason why I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you because I see what you're trying to get me not to see. You can't make me unsee that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Kids are very, very smart. And as time goes on, they get smarter. Okay? And whatever it is that you're not telling them, believe me, they're learning it elsewhere. So right. Better you get to them than anyone else.
Right.
Even if you have to go to them and open up the dialogue and go, you know what? I know this is going to be really awkward, but I would really like to know what it is that you and your friends are talking about when you're at school because I don't want you to be learning something that is ignorant. I want to be able to clarify what it is that you're learning. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just, you know, open up, just like you did with me, open up the floor for them to come to you. But if I'm coming to you, don't act like I'm not coming to you. That's the part where the communication lacks. If I'm coming to you, acknowledge that I'm coming to you, and then acknowledge what it is that I can do, if anything, to help. That's all kids want to do is help their parents. Just like you want to help them get to a place where they don't need to be dependent upon you. They want the same thing. They want to be able to help. That's all they want to do is be able to help, even if they know that they can't. It's just in us to want to help. It's just something that we are innately, as an evolving species, capable of.
But I think you can put too much on your kids.
Oh,
I mean,
definitely.
Of course your kids want help. And you want to show them that they can help in different ways. But there are certain things and certain burdens that your children shouldn't be available to. Like that kind of knowledge shouldn't be available to them. When you have children, you just want your children to be children. You don't want them to deal with the fact that the world is on your shoulders. You don't want to have them to have to deal with the fact that, you know, you don't know how you're going to pay the rent this month. That's not something that children should be even listening to. You shouldn't even tell your child, you know, mommy's going through something, and, you know, in your head, you're like, yeah, I can't pay the rent. That's not for your child to worry about. You feel me? Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be bringing children into the world for them to have to even worry about anything like that. To be a child is to be a child. Once you put those responsibilities and burdens on children, they grow up way too fast. And unfortunately, they feel that pain. They feel that burden. And I know that, you know, when you were growing up, you would sometimes feel that I had issues or I had things going on, but it wasn't my place, you know, to even tell you about it. You know what I mean? My mother never told me about the stuff that she was going through. So when she was like, you know, saying, oh, we're poor. And I'm like, where? I have everything I need. Like, I have clothes, I have food, I look good. Like, what are you talking about? We live in a great place. What are you talking about, we poor? Where? I would look around and be like, she's cool.
But then you also, I think did the connection get lost? I'm waiting for the connection to come back if you can hear me. I don't know what happened. I'm not sure if you can hear me or not, but
you still there?
Okay, there you go. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, your uncle's just called me.
Oh,
but I'm just like, I didn't wanna get me and you to a place where people would look at us and be like, you know, she's putting all this weight on her kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything. Like, people would say to me, it's not fair. It's not fair for her to know that you're going through stuff. You know what I'm saying? You shouldn't be talking to your kid about certain things. And, there, you know, for the things that I thought you could handle, I let you know about. But other things that I felt like you were just too little, you're just too young, I never told you because that just wasn't the right thing to do. As a parent, you don't put, you know, your burdens on your children. And that's, I stick to that. I mean, you might not understand where it came from, but, you know, once you have children of your own, I'm pretty sure you'll understand where I felt like it wasn't good to talk to you about everything. Mm-hmm. You know, even though, like, I felt like you were my best friend. You were, like, my only friend at the time. I didn't really have anybody else to talk about. But I also knew that there were boundaries. And me being your mother, there are certain things that you don't need to know about. You just need to be a baby. You just need to be a child. You need to enjoy the fact that you're young and you don't have any worries and any cares in the world. So I really made my decisions based on the fact that I didn't want you to suffer or worry. That was for me. That was for me to do.
I think that You're absolutely right that there should be boundaries in regards to, like, I don't expect a parent to go, mommy can't pay the rent this month. We might get evicted next month. Something like that. But I do believe that it's a lot more difficult to be a parent and to understand those boundaries and how not to break your child as a child when your child is gifted. That was always a struggle for me, being gifted. And for those who don't know what I mean when I say gifted, I mean, you know, children who are born into a life of having abilities that are now normalized, but weren't normalized back in the 90s. You were looked at as a fucking weirdo because they were like, oh, you see ghosts, or, you know, you can hear things that other people can't hear. You can feel things that other people can't feel. You have ESP, you have clairvoyance, whatever it is. It was a lot harder on me.
You were a witch
as a kid. I actually did practice witchcraft, you know, in my late teen years. And I unfortunately learned the hard way that there's no such thing as a blur of the lines. It is what it is. Whatever you say, whatever you do, does have a consequence.
It does.
Bad, or otherwise.
I mean, you know how they say magic comes with a price. That is so true. That is so true.
And kids are naturally that way, but it's different when you're born that way. Because there are two ways to be gifted. You can be born in it, or you can have a near-death experience and possibly be triggered. Right. Everybody is gifted. That's not something that you grow out of.
Right.
It's just a matter of acknowledging it. Hold on, I'm going to play this message. Okay, yeah, I don't know what the hell that was. Somebody recorded porn and sent it in. You guys are really? That was inappropriate. Anyways, I mean, you just had to, when you have to deal with that, it makes parenting so much harder, because how much of the bullshit that you're going through can you really hide from them when they're that intuitive, you know?
Yeah.
And you do the best for you.
Do the best that you can.
For you, yeah. it was a matter of gauging, I believe. I think that was like the biggest thing for you, gauging what it is that I can and cannot handle.
Yeah.
And you did your best to give me as much credit as you could.
There's no blueprint. So, but yeah, I
seen a lot of shit that I probably shouldn't have saw, just being an intuitive and gifted child.
Yeah.
And that, it was hard for me to express that to you because I didn't want you to think that I was worried. But right. There were times when, you know, there were things that I saw that you tried to hide from me. And I didn't know how to express that to you.
Well, as a kid,
we don't know how to express that type of stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we don't know how to have that open dialogue. Like, mommy, I see that you're struggling. I understand that there's nothing I can do. Is there something that I can do to find a way to make it better?
Well,
whatever that may mean.
I had the same issues growing up with my mom, watching her struggle.
Yeah.
And seeing things that, you know, like I said, I didn't know that we were poor in her eyes until I was a lot older. I was in my mid-teens before I realized what she was talking about. Because growing up as a child, she never exposed any of that. You know what I mean? If she couldn't pay the rent, I didn't know anything about that. If she couldn't get some food, I didn't know she didn't have food for her. But I didn't know she didn't have food for herself. So there was, you know, and it's the same with you. I did the same thing with you. There were times when I was hungry and I didn't eat, but I made sure that you did.
And it was crazy because it was like, it's just difficult. How do you express to your child, no, I didn't eat today? Even if, you know, you don't acknowledge that out loud, you don't tell that to them and they can see it. That's a very difficult situation.
Well,
your
as
child
a parent,
is that intuitive that they know, and you can't parent, verbally express that to them.
as a parent, that's something that you don't need to acknowledge. If that's the ultimate sacrifice. A parent will go through the ultimate sacrifice for their children. You know what I mean? If I had to choose whether I live or die, and my choice was, if I die, you live, there's no question that I'm just going to die so that you can live. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's no question about that. So, you know, as a parent, you just automatically sacrifice for your children. That's what you do. Mm-hmm. You don't realize it until you have children of your own, but that's what you do for your children. You sacrifice whatever it is that you don't need so that they can have. You know, when I was a young, you know, a youngin in my 20s, eating was not a priority for me. Yeah. It was a priority for you.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if I eat. What matters is that you eat. And I would have done anything to make sure that you do. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, even if I had to go hungry, I would make sure that you eat. So you don't, it's selfless. You don't even think about it. I gave not one thought about the fact that you needed to eat or that I needed to eat. I the only thing that concerned me was that you found that you had food. That was it. And you had a safe place to stay. So when you sacrifice for your children, that's what you do. You don't just do. It's automatic.
So it's like a reflex.
It is. And it's not something that you, it's not, it's secondary to nature. I could be cold in a, as long as you're warm, I'm good.
Yeah. I know, that's what I came downstairs for. I wanted to get my cheese though. Yeah. Yeah, that can be real difficult to deal with when you it's just difficult being a parent.
Period. A parent is dealing with difficult things.
Yeah. Making the decision to, you know, keep your child as innocent as possible.
Yeah, it's your first dealing with unconditional love.
I'm making myself a bowl of grits. You can what?
You can spoil your children. Spoil your children.
So, since we're, you know, talking about children and stuff like that, what is it about being a grandparent that bothers you to a state where you don't want to be a grandparent? Because that is something I've never understood. Like, if I was to have a kid, what would happen? Like, what type of relationship would you have with this kid?
Right.
It took me a long time to even want to have children because of that. Like, there was a point where I was like, I don't even want kids because I'm terrified of having kids in my own person. But even more to the point, I don't want to subject my mother to being a grandparent that she don't want that. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm asking you. Like,
it's not parent. I don't. And your child to suffer. I don't want you and your things unnecessarily. That's the only thing that I have an issue with. You know, are you at the point where you can take care of yourself? If you can take care of yourself, you are more to take care of the person. Yeah. What I didn't want was for you to have a take care of yourself. You couldn't do for you yet.
Yeah.
And experiencing that, I didn't want that.
Yeah, I don't think I would have done.
Because that's rough. If you how I struggled, the only reason why I struggled is because I was not properly set yet. And then here you pop.
Yeah.
And I wasn't properly set up. So I wasn't ready. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like as a parent, you don't want your children to experience that. I didn't want you to experience not being ready.
Yeah. But like you said,
you know, you can have children. You can have children. I don't think you'll get to a point. I don't think you get to a point where you'll ever be ready, but you can be more prepared.
Yeah. I was getting ready to say
that. You can be more prepared.
You made it clear that. What are you doing? Really no preparation for having children. That's why I was like, you know. But right. I do agree with the fact that, you know, you should be a little bit more prepared.
Yeah, you should. Like, have a house. Have a job. Have a car. You know. Have the things in place that you need in order to better take care of your child. I feel like when you have a child, things, and you guys are growing together, it's not a good look. It's not a good look. You know what I mean? You owe it to your child to be more prepared for them. That's, to me, a faith. And I feel like if you're raising a child and you're not prepared, it's not fair to that child that you're not prepared. That's not right. It's the same way I said that you shouldn't drag your child through your suffering. You know what I mean? But you can get to a point where you're more prepared than you're not prepared.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if you don't have the things that you need before the baby, you shouldn't be having a baby at this point. If everything you need, you're prepared. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I mean by that. Like, I feel like you should be able to, you know, be prepared to have a child if that's what you're going to do. And I feel like if you're not ready for that, you shouldn't be having babies.
Yeah.
So I don't want that for you. I want you to be prepared. When you're ready to have a child, you will be prepared.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just in my nature to be prepared for stuff now, though, because it's something it's a learned behavior.
You know what it is that you want. That's what it is.
Yeah. I have desires and I have, you know, goals that I want to achieve before I have children.
Exactly.
But I also don't want to wait too long to have children because then, you know, no one wants to be that old mom. No one. No one wants to be the old mother.
Old mothers. They're out there.
And I'm sure that that's not what they wanted.
No, they're out there.
I can almost guarantee it. Like, no one wants to be the old mom.
The old mom is the mom that's like, listen, I need my career. I need a husband. I need, you know, or a spouse. I need a significant other. I need to be ready. That's the old mother. The young mother is like, listen, you know, I got this body and it's more than capable of handling what's going on and I can bounce back. That's the young mother. You know, we'll grow together. Bitch, are you crazy? You know, but
yeah.
I would rather have been the old mother than the young mother. I really would, because I feel like you would have benefited more.
I want to be the middle-aged mom. Please don't let me be the old. I don't mind being semi-prepared. At least I'm more prepared than not prepared, but I don't want to be the old. I don't want to be the old mother. I don't want to be 50-year-old with a 16-year-old.
What is wrong with the 50-year-old mother? What is wrong with that?
I don't want to be the 50-year-old with a 16-year-old. Like, that's not...
Oh, my God.
No. I want the math to balance out. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to be old, and I don't want to be young.
So you want to be in the middle. So what is the middle? The middle is
no one 50. Knows when they're going to die, so.
The middle is 50.
Not if you live to be 110.
Well,
I'm just saying. The mortality rate is a lot higher than if y'all had kids.
I'm just saying. Like, what? There is no
right age
to be a mom. You, like I said, you could be more prepared than you are not. You could be young, you know, and grow with your child. But there's no set age, though.
Yeah. I know one thing, though. I don't want to be a mother right now. You know what scares me, though, the most about Okay, so this is not even so much as me being a parent, because honestly, I don't intend to have children, but the thing that scares me about being a parent is being a bad parent.
And then you're never going to have kids, then.
I'm not going to have any of my own.
But I'm saying, if that's what scares you, you're never going to have children, because, you know, there is no such thing as not being a bad parent. You, at some point, will be the bad parent. That's how you learn.
What I mean by that is the parent who, you know, I don't want to be my father's child. Let me put it that way. I don't want to be my father's child. And not saying that I will be my father's child and, you know, neglect my child and everything like that, but I literally have a fear of having my own children. It's so many things that I've gone through that just, you know, stimulated that fear. And being a step-parent for me is one thing, but having a child of my own is, I have a phobia. Like, I literally have a phobia, the whole ordeal, the whole process of being a parent from the birth all the way up until raising them. So I know, for me personally, the only way I'm going to actually have children of my own is if I absolutely in my relationship have to.
Right.
Even then, it's going to take a while for you to convince me, because I know people who have gone through hell and high water and weren't supposed to have children and still did. So I don't know. Me personally, I have a phobia of having my own children. I don't think that I'll ever be truly a mother. And it's crazy, because the people who know me on a biblical level say the same exact thing. And I think that it's because of the behavior that I display to them in regards to the stuff that would make me a good parent. But I don't see that the way they see it. I don't see myself being this, you know, good parent or whatever.
Well, that just simply means that you're not ready. You're not ready.
I don't have the confidence that it takes to be a parent.
I don't think anybody has that. I don't think anybody's born with it. I don't think anybody acquires it. I think, you know, it comes a point where you develop certain things, but mm-hmm. no one has that. No one goes into it like, oh yeah, I'll make the best parent. They're lying if they do. They're saying that, if, you know, listen, I'm going into this whole thing, I'm going to be, no, everybody is scared shitless, and you don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you don't know what it's going to be like until you go through it. But I feel like if you're feeling this way, you definitely don't need children.
Yeah, I'm completely terrified to have my own children. Being a step-parent, that's easy for me, because I'm not the mom. You know what I mean? I do have to take on the responsibilities of being a parent, especially if I'm going to be an adoptive parent, but I didn't birth that child. You know what I mean? So,
right.
Not saying that my mind state would be different, but it would be more at ease than if I were to have my own child. And that's more so because, for one, I watched you struggle with me. And no matter how prepared you want to convince yourself that you are, you're never prepared for children. And for two,
never.
I was a gifted child, and twins run in my family. Can you imagine if I had gifted twins? Like, this is the stuff that I think about. I have medical problems that, you know, just hit me out the blue. Like, I can't mentally deal with that. I can't see myself raising children that are gifted and had the possibility of having ailments that I had no control over, and then, you know, they turn 30 and suddenly their knee is not working properly like that. It terrifies me. It does. I'm terrified. Like, no, because if I have twins who are gifted, I'm gonna jump off the bridge like that.
And just leave me stuck with them. Thank you.
Listen, you and my fiance's wife in the future will be just fine without me. I can't wrap my head around that one. That is overwhelming. It is for me to think, you know, my father was a twin, and me and my sister, we were 11 months apart. And even though you didn't birth her, that's still that innate twinness. Like, oh no. Yeah. I just was like, at dealing with being gifted on your own person is hard enough. Mm-hmm. Having to raise a child who's gifted, it's like double whammy. Like, oh no, 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 no. Please, well, not again. Like, it's like going through it all over again.
I feel like if you don't want to have kids, you should. That's perfectly fine.
And people, you know, they're always like, you know, face your fears and stuff like that. And certain, that's the only thing that I fear, really. I don't have any other fears, truth be told. Like, some people, you know, they fear, you know, intimacy, or they fear, like, you know, a Chucky doll. My fear is, like, the biggest fear to me, because who the hell would be afraid of having a child? Like, that's something that is inundated into you. Like, you hear about it all the time. Yeah, I'm gonna, you know, grow up and I'm gonna get married. I'm gonna have the house and the dog and the kids and the white picket fence and this and that and third. And so, you know, it's like you would think it would be embedded into you, but it's not for me. Like, I am completely terrified of having my own children, because the whole watching your struggle thing, and then twin thing, and then the gifted thing, and then, you know, even when I was, you know, with child, I had a horrible, horrible nightmare that I birthed the spawn of Satan. Like, this is the stuff that's in my head, you know? Like, no, like, oh, no, nope, not having this baby, like, now. Then I, at that time, I didn't have anything, and he didn't have anything, and it was just like, I'm not going to bring this baby into a world full of nothing. This world is terrible enough as it is. I'm not going to go through that. So, and it was crazy because, like, at that particular time, I believed in, you know, not having abortions and just dealing with the consequences of your actions or whatever. But for me, it was an accident. I didn't intend to get pregnant. I was wearing, you know, he was wearing a condom, and it popped, and it was what it was.
Right.
And just like people say, you know when you're pregnant. It was the scariest thought of my life. I've never been more terrified of anything else. Not ventriloquist dummies, not, you know.
Did you just compare being pregnant to a horror film?
not ventriloquist dummies, Chucky, not porcelain dolls. Nothing scared me more than being pregnant, and then having to deal with the fact that I was pregnant, acknowledging that I was pregnant. Like, none of that scared me more than being pregnant and knowing that you're pregnant. That's the worst, because when you know you're pregnant, it's nothing that you can do. I mean, I was literally, you know, up there on the internet, like, I gotta get rid of this baby. I don't care if I gotta take the morning after pill. Like, listen, give me the abortion pill. Do something. Get this thing out of me. I don't want no parts. Nope, I'm good. No, like, not right now.
It's very scary.
Yeah. Well, I was just like, I can't
deal with
that.
I'm glad that you didn't have to deal with the fact that you know, didn't have a child that you didn't want. So that was enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so moving on, how are you feeling about the way of the world right now?
I've had just about enough. I check out. I can't.
I can't.
I say it a million times. I haven't watched TV, like, blatantly watched TV, like, full out since 2008. I don't watch the news. I don't know what's going on. It shows up on my Facebook feed. That's how I find shit out. I don't involve myself. I don't indulge. I don't participate. It's when, like I said, when you're gifted, it's very difficult to deal with everyday situations because you absorb. And you have no intention of absorbing, but you do. And no matter how much control you have over your gift, you absorb. So I can't, I checked out. Back in 2008 is when I started to check out, and I've been checked out ever since. I can't deal with that. Dealing with racism was hard enough in my face. To deal with you know, people, you know, being on the news and talking about how, you know, their son or their, you know, grandson or got shot or, you know, police brutality or whatever it is, whatever negative energy is flowing through that manner, I check out. I can't deal with that. It overwhelms me, and I have to cleanse. I have to meditate for days upon end just to deal with that level of negative energy in my headspace.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
It's too much. It's overwhelming.
Even when I meditate, I definitely have to like purge my body of all of that. It's a lot. I don't know how people do it. I don't know how you deal with it. Because I can't even function.
She keeps CNN on, and I'm like, I don't go into her room. I'm not going to my grandmother's room because she keeps CNN on, and I can't. I get angry. I get really angry.
Yeah.
I get extremely infuriated. Like,
I feel you on that.
I can't deal with it. I don't.
At some point, I have to turn the TV off because I just can't. I can't deal with all that shit. I mean, it's draining.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a friend that asked me, like, how are you holding up? But I'm not holding up. You know what I'm saying? I'm fucking bearing down right now. Like, I can't. I fucking can't. Mm-hmm. And I listen to the news for days and days and days upon end. But at some point, I have to turn that shit off.
Yeah.
Because I can't take it. Like, my whole body is just full of anxiety and listening to, you know, all this negativity all the time. It's just, it's so consuming.
Yeah.
You know, you have to deplug and just, like, go and, like, cleanse your body and free your mind a little bit. You know, I feel bad for people. I do. I have empathy. But at the same time, like, I just cannot, you know, you're like a sponge. Like you said, you absorb a lot of that energy. And I just can't. Like, I just can't. I have to keep my body to the point where I'm dealing with things in my own way, things that are making me sane, things that are keeping me sane. Unfortunately, you know, we live in a volatile world, but I've always lived in a volatile world ever since I came into this motherfucker. So it's not really different for me. Yeah. What I see on TV, I've been seeing on TV. What's happening, been happening.
Just you like you said, it's Emmett Till all over again. Yeah, it just keeps repeating itself.
The same shit over and over and over. And at some point, you just get tired. You know, you just get tired. I know there's a whole world of people out there listening and thinking, like, listen, you know, it's going to get better. It probably is. It probably is.
But not for me.
But not today.
not for my race. Not anytime soon.
Yeah.
If ever.
Yeah. I had a friend that we were talking. And, you know, this friend said to me, like, you know, what can we do? Not a damn thing. Ain't shit you can do. There's nothing you can do. You know, only
thing unless you build a time machine.
Only thing that you can do is, like, if you see something, say something. If you see it ain't right, say something. Speak up.
The only thing that you can do is build a time machine at this point. If you can't build a time machine, don't even talk to me. Because
here's the thing about that. If we built a time machine, where the fuck we going? Because they ain't never
way
liked
back
us.
To when it first started.
They ain't never liked us. So where we going?
I'm talking about them. They keep asking people, oh, well, what can we do? You know, this white privilege and blah, blah, blah. You know what you can do? And I know this sounds like sarcasm and, you know, ha-ha, it's funny. You know what you can do? And I'm being really serious about this. Build a time machine and go back to the very, 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 very beginning when all this bullshit started and turn it around so that we can live in a world full of peace and serenity like you always keep claiming feminism and bullshit that y'all keep trying to portray.
Here's
do
the
that.
Thing. Here's the thing. Like, I get a lot of, like, pushback from Christians that talk about, you know,
no, please.
Jesus.
Christians are the most
I'm just saying.
Judgmental
I'm not going to down Christians. What I'm saying is this. I get a lot of pushback where Christians are saying, you know, we should be more like Jesus and we should do. Let me tell you something. Okay. Jesus lived in a volatile world. Boom, bip. There it is. I said it. Okay. He lived in a world where they tortured him. Okay. You stalked him. You tortured him. You tried them. I mean, it's like you did everything that is happening to a black person. You feel me? Everything that's happening to a black person, you did to Jesus. So, you know, am I supposed to be uplifted by that? Am I supposed to be like comforted by that? You know what I'm saying? Yes. And you think about, you know, what they did to Jesus. They tortured him and they killed him. So, you know, there's a man of color.
Right.
Like, come on. So when people ask me, like, what can we do? Like, I don't know that you can do anything at this point.
I know exactly what you can do since they can't build a time machine and go back in time and reverse the polarity. You know what you really can do? That is, like, actually it does have a capability while we still have breath in our lungs. Give us back our Black Wall Street. Do that first. Let's do that first. Okay, listen. Because what you really did was you took everything that you learned from us and then you flipped it on us and reversed the rules and used what you learned from us against us. You changed the rules on thing. Us.
Okay, Black, do they that. Doing that now. They doing that now, like to this day. Black Wall Street is happening right now. They're going around threatening Black people. Wrong. They're going around, like, you know, destroying Black property, destroying Black stuff. So, like, you're doing that right now. My thing is, like, I want them to go back to where they came from. How about that? How about you go back to where you came from? You know what I mean? This was the indigenous people's land. This wasn't your land. You know?
And stop telling us to go back to where we came from because you stole you us. Go back hello. To where you we came never, from. Like, we never came over here. We never we came over here. Not even just that. Not even just that. Even if we were already here, we didn't come over here by choice. Yeah, you but my wanted thing us is, here.
Okay,
now you want this. To get rid of us because my you can't control us anymore.
Like, I feel like they're always talking about go back to where you came from. Okay, well, if indigenous people were already here, you know, because a lot of people don't understand. Just because Black people are here in America, that does not mean that some weren't born here in America. You know what I mean? We didn't all come over on the boat. You know what I mean? There were some people that came over here and settled down, and they were already here and having children. This was a country of immigrants.
Yeah.
It was built on us being immigrants. People were allowed to come here and just be themselves, and they communicated with each other. They had, you know, trade with each other. They got along with each other. You know what I'm saying? And even if they didn't get along, there was respect. You still have respect. But nowadays, people don't even have respect. I mean, you just don't even have respect for people. You know, and that's the sad part. Because, you know, you hear all these people, especially these ones raving these Confederate flags, like, you're okay, you're a freaking loser. You're waving a flag, loser. You know, talking about go back to where you came from. Really? Really? Like, you know what I'm saying? So my thing is, like, people have no respect now. They don't have respect for each other, and that's the problem. Like, I don't care if you hate me. I respect you. Okay? That shit the fuck up. But I don't have to hate you because you hate me.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad thing is that people are finding out the hard way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People are getting their ass kicked all over the place because you can't mind your business. Mind your fucking business.
That's all there is to it, baby.
That's it. Mind your fucking business. Why are you in my business? Why are you over here? You know what I mean?
Listen. It's gotten to a point where if somebody actually made a song, it goes nah 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 nah, my business. I'm dead serious. I wish I could play it for you, but you can't play music on this platform. But there's a guy who actually made a song called Mind Your Business.
Yeah.
Even Will Smith, mind your business. That's all you gotta do is mind your business. That's it. It's not that difficult. The reason why you get into altercations with people, I tell my fiance all the time. We was in New York and we was in the store, and some guy, I don't know what the hell he was doing because I was minding my business, wound up in having an altercation with the store owner, and I was like, let's get the hell out of here.
Exactly.
And she all knows in the business. I'm like, see, that's the type of shit that's going to get you shot. Can we go?
Exactly.
Like, I'm not trying to get shot. I say it all the time. That's going to get you shot. Stop minding other people's business. That's
exactly.
It. You know, but exactly. I want to see what's going on. You don't need to know what's going on.
Exactly.
A fight is going on. And when a gun gets out, what you going to do?
Exactly.
Then you gonna mind your business. You gonna mind your business then? Are you gonna mind your business then?
You gonna mind your business in a damn hospital?
That bullet won't mind his business. I'm telling you. Just mind your fucking business. Mind your business.
Yes.
All you had to do. I've seen it. I've seen people get into altercations with other people because they try to step in and, you know, play the. I don't do domestics. Mm-hmm. No, I don't. If I see something that's out of character, the only thing I'm gonna do is call 911 and move on.
Call the law.
I'm gonna tell you what's going on and where it's happening and move on with my life. I don't want to be bothered. Like,
what I can do is I can call the law. That's it.
That's it. Mind your goddamn business. Stop being in your face. Stop being your face in the place, because your face will be replaced. That's how. Mm-hmm. That's how it go. People get shot over the stupidest shit, like not minding their business. That's all you gotta do.
I mean, I would love to be, you know, Captain Save Everybody, but you just can't. You don't know what people are going through. You know, I mean, you see in the news all the time. You know, people coming home from, you know, wars, fighting wars, coming home to break up a fight to get shot. Like, that's how you died?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's not right to see somebody beating somebody or to see something, you know, somebody going through something. I mean, at one point in my life, I was a person who was abused in the street. So, you know, I wish somebody would have called the cops, you know, but, you know, you have to learn how to just deal. You know what I mean? Everything is not for you. You are not the judge, jury, executioner, blah, blah, blah. You are not the law. You know what I mean? And I think
and the part,
90% of the problem, what's going on right now, is that people don't mind their fucking business. Mind your damn business.
What bothers me about knowing the difference between minding your business and stepping in is that you have to know how to step in.
Exactly.
The way that you step in is, excuse me, to call the law, not to record it.
Right.
Okay. If you see a fight, you're supposed to report, not record.
Exactly.
It's just, I was watching Lonnie B, and he was telling a story about how he has a friend who wound up suing Target because the damn security guard was so busy recording the fight instead of securing the situation. You're the security guard. Secure. That's your job. If it is your job to participate in an action, then that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah,
but if you're
different.
Just some regular ass civilian and you see somebody getting beat up, don't go your ass over there and try to fucking get inside the fight. Call the cops. Like,
exactly.
And don't justify it because all the police, because first of all, social media is transcribed. Okay, let's be perfectly clear. They media publicize what they want you to see.
Exactly.
Okay. Not every. I know crooked cops. Okay. So let's not get on the allegedly. Let's not get on the whole. Oh yeah. I'm not gonna call the cops because then they just gonna wind up dead. You don't know that.
You don't.
How the fuck are you supposed to know that unless you call them?
Exactly.
There's plenty of times I call the police during the circumstance, and nobody got hurt by the police. You know who that got hurt by? The other person that was involved in the altercation. That's who they got hurt by. So, yeah, if I see some type of brutality, you know, between two people, some type of domestic violence, I'm going to call the cops. I don't care what you say.
Right.
But I'm not going to get involved. I don't care how good my hands are. I'm not getting involved.
That's not your place. that's not your place to go and break it up. Like, that's
you don't know what the situation is. She could have, you know, killed his son or some shit. I don't know.
Or tried to kill him. You don't know what the situation is because you're not in it.
Right.
You know, but there you go seeing somebody beat up a woman, but you didn't see that woman 20 minutes ago trying to kill the person that she was getting beat up by. Like, you don't know what's going on in people's lives. You know, exactly. So you going in trying to step and save somebody, you could end up getting killed or getting someone else killed that wasn't intended to be, you know, they weren't an intended target. So
yeah.
I feel like, you know, if you minded your business and just called the law, let them handle it. Let them sort that out.
That's what their job is to handle it.
Right.
As you know, you see all this.
Queen! Pick up your head. Your crown is falling.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you really just got to know how to step in. That's all it is.
Yeah.
If you feel like it is your place to step in, that's how you do it. Don't take your ass over here and get involved in a situation you don't know what the situation is. You don't walk into a lava cave blindfolded. Why would you go your ass over there and get involved? That's stupid.
Exactly.
That's dumb. Don't do that. Just call the gods.
Exactly. Mm. All right, well, so, I have to go, love. I got stuff to do.
All right. Well, it was fun talking to you.
It was fun talking to you. We got to do this again.
Mm. Yes, every day. All the time. No. Oh, that reminds me. Before I forget, the poem is in your email.
Okay.
Okay. Right. And we have to practice the monologue, but not anytime soon because my training is from 11 to 7, so I am not going to be available.
All right, maybe on the weekend.
All righty. Hopefully, I won't have a weekend schedule, but we'll see. I'll let you know.
All right. All right. Later.
Later.